many things that make up a man. God has given to us very qualities. These qualities and their various combinations set us apart from those that are around us. God has blessed some with academic gifts. To others, He has blessed in the areas of the arts and realms such as music. To others, He has given gifts in the areas of the trades, our carpenters and our electricians. Some are creative. Others tend to be athletic. Some possess a strong physique, while others are frail of frame. Some are healthy. Others at times tend to be more sickly. Yet no matter what qualities we possess, there is one thing that equalizes all men. And the great equalizer of all men is simply time. All of us and all of mankind is given the reality of time. All of us only have so much time, and what we do with the time that God has gifted to us will make all the difference. One author said it this way: time is free, but it is priceless. You cannot own it, but you can use it. You cannot keep it, but you can spend it. Once you have lost it, you can never get it back. Time for many seems to be quickly passing away. And nothing really clarifies that truth more than the passing of a new year. As we start one year and we look back on the fact that 2013 has come to a close, we're now into the throes of 2014, we are reminded of the truth that time is quickly moving on. Some of us, as we start this new year, look back over our life and we realize that our past is greater than our future. Time is moving on. Some parents here tonight have to face the reality that soon those beloved ones entrusted to our care will be gone on their own. But time continues to march on. Since the Roman poet echoed those two famous words centuries ago, "Time flies," we have been forever racing against the clock. You and I live in a world that is ever increasing in its pace. Our food is fast. Our information is instant. We are always connected, always in touch, and seemingly always out of time. In James chapter 4, verse 14, James asks the question, "What is your life?" And to that he responds, "It is but a vapor, here for a moment, and then gone again." Time moves by. And what matters most is what you and I do for eternity. I've asked you tonight to turn with me to Job chapter 7. I want to read verses 1 through 6. And then I want to simply consider this question tonight with you. What is your life? Job chapter 7, look at verses 1 through 6. "Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as an hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise, and the night be gone? And I am full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome." Verse 6, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope." Let's pray together, please. Father, we ask and pray that you would bless tonight as we come to look at some thoughts from your word tonight, considering the very lives that you have given us, the time that we possess. And Lord, I pray that you would teach us. I pray that, Father, you would help us in the moments that we have together. We'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Job has faced the greatest trial of his life. He has lost everything that was dear, important to him. He lost his family. All of his children are gone. He lost his wealth, and those that should have been there to comfort him forsook him and became to him his discouragers. In the midst of all these things, Job recognizes this thought: life moves quickly. Look at verse 6. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. In other parts of this book, Job referred to the brevity of life simply by referring to life as a shadow, but a cloud, or like the wind. The question for us is simply this: are there any lessons to learn from this illustration of Job in regards to our life? My life is like a weaver's shuttle. It moves by quickly. And again, I ask you tonight, what is your life? We're at the beginning of a brand new year, and we begin to question, what's the goal for 2014? What do we want to see accomplished? What is your life? Job describes his life as that which moves very quickly, like a weaver's shuttle. I want you to notice a few things with me as Job describes it this way. Number one, I want you to notice this thought with me. Life and your life is ever changing. Our lives are ever changing. Our life is quickly moving. Life is short. It is even but a vapor. It is at times like a cloud, a shadow in the wind. It is like the weaver's shuttle. I don't know how many of you have that image in your mind when you think of the weaver's shuttle. It is an amazing thing to watch. I don't know how they do it. I don't want to know how they do it. But it's amazing what people are able to create. But when you watch a weaver do his job, it is moving by very quickly. Job describes our life as that as a weaver's shuttle. Sometimes you and I look at the thought of the swiftness of life, and that thought to us is negative. But I want you to see tonight that it's positive. Your life and my life is quickly moving. It is ever changing. You say, Pastor, how do we see that as a positive? Well, if life is quickly moving by, then you and I can surmise that life is ever changing. And the situation that we now find ourselves in will soon pass away. See, Job is sitting in the midst of the hardest thing he's ever gone through. His heart is broken. As a man, he is truly beaten down. His life and world were changed in a moment of time. But it's going to change again. Now, you and I have the wonderful blessing to be able to look at the beginning of Job and read all the way through the end of Job. And we know that that's the reality. But you and I need to take that as comfort, because life is ever changing. Yes, it moves by quickly, but the problems of life today will be gone. So often when you and I face hardships, we feel as if time is moving by so slowly that our troubles will never end. But our days are short, and time always moves on. Troubles have a beginning. Troubles have an end. To everything, Solomon says, there is a season. And so the reality is life ever changes. Job is soon going to find the Lord to enter into his life again. And the condition of his life will change once more. This time it's going to be for the good. God's going to reward Job. Now God has much yet for Job still to learn. But take heart that although life moves by very quickly, it is ever changing. I like the words of the Apostle Peter that he shares In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, Peter is writing to a group of people who are facing severe persecution. For the first time in the world now, not was the persecution coming from other religious people, now it is coming from the government. And Nero is coming down fast and hard on Christians. Many are persecuted, many are dying. Peter writes to these believers, here's what he says, wherein we greatly rejoice. In what, Peter? Though now for a season, if need be, we are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, we love, and whom though we now see him not, yet believe. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Peter says, hey, it's hard. But in this rejoice, God has taken us through a season of trial. But it ends. And on the other side, we'll have our reward. There's a blessing for you and I to consider in the fact that life is always moving on. See, folks, time never stops for anyone. It stops for nothing. Your life is ever changing. But catch this part. God is always in control. Time moves quickly, yes. Changes will come. And the one who controls the changes is God. What you and I have to learn to do is simply trust Him with all of our heart and not lean to our understanding. Not only is life ever changing, but I want you to see this. Life has a purpose. Life has a purpose. This illustration of the weaver reminds us of the fact that life has purpose for us. It is compared to the tapestry of the weaver. Jeremiah uses the illustration of a potter with clay. In both illustrations, the point is clear. God has a purpose for your life and mine. When a potter takes the lump of clay, he has a purpose. He has something he or she wants to make with that lump of clay. The clay doesn't understand, but the potter does. When someone begins to sit down and begin the process of using the shuttle to weave their tapestry, they have in their mind an understanding of what they're going to create. I don't know how they do, but they do. And God didn't gift some of us with that understanding, but we can see the end result and rejoice in it. But they have a plan from the very beginning. And those who are good at their craft have a purpose. If you've ever taken the time to watch one doing the action of the weaving, again, it's remarkable. They move so quickly, forcing the thread to be woven according to their desire, according to their design. Just think about that for a moment. The weaver makes the thread go according to their desire and their design. See, the weaver knows what they are making and has the skill to make something beautiful, which to the rest of us looks like a mess. Does your life ever look like a mess? Does everything around you just seem to be chaotic? It does at times, doesn't it? But understand, your life is like the weaver's shuttle. You are but the thread, and God is forcing you through according to His desire and according to His design. He knows what He's doing. Folks, did God know what He was doing in Job's life? Did He know the end from the beginning? So when Satan came to God and said, "Let me touch Job," did God already know the end? Did He already have a plan? Did He already have a purpose? Did He force the thread His way? Absolutely. Of course he blesses you, God. Look at how you've blessed him. Let me touch his life. You can touch everything around him. Don't put your hand on Job. And he did. Well, of course, he didn't let me touch him, Lord. You can touch him, but you can't kill him. Huh. He did. And in all these things, Job did not curse God. Now, he struggled, folks, as you read through the book. But in it all, God was weaving according to his desire and his design. In our lives, God is the one who controls the shuttle and designed that which to him, please hear that, designs that which is to him most beautiful. You ever look at art and go, huh? That's weird. Some pieces I look at and go, really? I remember as a student at Bob Jones, they had their own art gallery down there. And one of the things they made every freshman do is go through this art gallery of all this religious art. And so they would stand there and they would explain all these paintings to me. And I remember sitting there as a freshman going, what is the point of that? And I remember sitting looking at them, and they're describing the beauty of all that the author did and the painter did. And I thought, you consider that beautiful? Okay. Different points of perspective. But you know what? To them it is. See, God's going to design that which is to him most beautiful. It's by his design. Ephesians chapter 2 reminds us of this thought. Yes, you were saved by grace alone. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For what purpose? Verse 10 says, you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that you should walk in them. You're his workmanship. God has a specific design for your life. He has a purpose. What you and I have to do is allow him to complete that work. See, he which hath begun a good work in you, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, God promises that he'll complete it. He'll continue unto the day of Jesus Christ. Job says, my life is like a weaver's shuttle. That's true. Life is ever changing, but your life has a purpose. Let me give you another thought. Folks, life is a process. Life is a process. God began a work. We just referenced Philippians 1:6. He's going to continue to perform his work. The weaver continues until his work is done. A potter continues to mold and shape until he is done. A painter continues to move and paint until he's done. As a child growing up, I remember watching PBS with Bob Ross. Anybody know who Bob Ross is from PBS? Maybe just down in the States. This was this soft-spoken man, big old Afro guy who was a painter. Beautiful paintings, and he would talk, and it was the most boring thing, but to watch the paintings was pretty interesting. He was boring to listen to, but his paintings were really kind of neat. And I get to a point, you think, wow, he's done. And he'd dip in some more, and he'd paint over what he just painted. And why did you build all that other stuff? Why paint that? Because it builds layers. And then when you saw the absolute finished product, you went, that's even better than I thought halfway through. Folks, your life is a process. God has begun it. He'll complete it. But that day has not yet come. So let me encourage you. Don't judge God's unfinished products. Sometimes the true beauty of a weaver's work is never seen till all work is complete. No wonder the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged. Sometimes you can look at someone's life and oh, we can begin to criticize everything about them, but folks, life is a process. God's not done. He'll do his work in them as he is doing his work in you. Who are you and I to judge unfinished work? See, life is as a weaver's shuttle. It's ever-changing, and it has a purpose, but it is a process. And you and I need to not judge God's work. Parents, can I remind you, God is still at work in the life of your children, just like he's still at work in you. None of us have yet arrived. None of our work is yet complete. Christian, God is still working in the life of that loved one. What a blessing to hear Flo's testimony tonight. To be praying for family members and then to receive the word today of the work that the Lord seems to be doing, to say, I believe now she's saved. Why? Because God is at work. Who are we to judge this process? You and I don't understand the end from the beginning, but God does. So accept the fact that this is a process. Let's keep our expectations what they should be. All things happen very quickly when you watch a weaver do its work. But again, in the end, the finished product is beautiful. In a world of instant everything, I think it's important that you and I remember that God is working all things according to his good pleasure. Philippians 2, verse 13 reminds us of that. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. So again, I ask you tonight, what is your life? More importantly, what will your life be this year? Understand, your life is ever changing. You and I have no idea what the future holds for us. We have our expectations, we have our wishes, we have our desires, but we have no idea what our future holds. Trials may come, but trials will go. And good and blessing will follow. Life is ever changing. But don't ever forget, whether it's good or whether it's bad, it is for a purpose. Say, I don't understand the purpose. You're not making the tapestry. You're not the weaver. You're the thread. God has a desire. God has a design. He'll do his work. And don't forget that in it all, it is a process. Things take time. Change happens sometimes slowly. And no one knows that better than the Lord. Thankfully, the Bible says he is long-suffering toward us. He is ever patient. He is ever loving. He is ever kind. He knows when to chasten in love, and he knows when to correct, and when to encourage, and when to help. He knows when to turn up the heat, and he knows when to lead us beside still waters and let us sleep. It's a process. It is your life. And it's by God's design. Will you trust in him? Let's pray together tonight as we close. Father, we thank you for this time tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the reality of what your word teaches us. Lord, we thank you that we can consider such, even an illustration from Job, that our life is like a weaver's shuttle. Oh, sometimes it seems to be moving by so quickly. Lord, we're thankful that life ever changes. There are days of good and plenty. There are days of famine. But all of that is part of your plan. It's part of your process. It's all for your purpose. Lord, may we not judge things before their time. But may we truly, like Solomon said, learn to trust in the Lord with all our heart. And not lean to our understanding of things. But instead, let us acknowledge him in all of our ways, knowing that he, by his desire and design, will direct our path if we let him. So, Father, we'll thank you. We'll praise you for the wonderful work that you'll do in our lives this year. May we look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And God bless you. You're dismissed tonight.